way most of us read the paper is we look at the headlines. And if it gets our eye, we may look a little further. We glance at the sports and find out maybe some of the scores and who won. We look over the obituaries and see who's still alive and who hopefully has known Jesus and gone on home to him. And we look at our favorite comics. That's about the way we read the newspapers. But in all of us, there is a yearning that we have, and the yearning is deep within our hearts to find something that isn't sad or terrifying or even unbelievably crushing. There is so much grim news in the headlines. 2 weeks ago, on Sunday night, around 7 o'clock, I-80 was closed in both directions. And I read it in the Rollins Times and in the Wyoming Tribune Eagle. Crash kills 5 on I-80 east of Rollins. And then this week, I wanted to read more about it because I'd heard more from other people. And there in the Cowboy State Daily that comes out of Lander, Greg Johnson wrote, "Trooper describes fiery, chaotic scene on night of multi-car crash that killed 5 students." The abbreviated facts are that a 57-year-old Tennessee roofer was driving on I-80 in the wrong direction, going east in the westbound lane. It caused a chain reaction on both sides of I-80, and it closed the road both ways. The drunken driver admitted not only to being drunk, but having taken meth the night before. Trooper Corey McAllister responded to the crash scene around 7 p.m. between Rollins and Sinclair, where it occurred. Now, what happened? He was driving his Dodge Ram 3500 pickup eastbound in the westbound lane, and he sideswiped a FedEx commercial truck. He hit a small SUV, an Infiniti, head-on, and the Infiniti SUV was at that moment passing another commercial MS freight truck. The MS freight truck, trying to get out of the way, began to spin in the medium and crossed over into the eastbound lane and hit a red F-150 Ford truck carrying 5 young people ages 18 to 23 who were instantly engulfed in flames and burned unrecognizably. The lady driver of the MS freight truck suffered third-degree burns and may not live, but she is in an induced coma in the burn center in Greeley, Colorado. And in a statement, Jackson Hole Bible College, that all of us know about because our former secretary, Alyssa Klein at that time, now Ertl, went there and graduated from Jackson Hole Bible College, said that these 5 Arkansas students had spent the prior week sitting in on classes at the college and were getting to know this year's student body, catching up with 3 staff from the Fellowship Bible Church in North Little Rock that sponsored the trip. And according to KATV in Little Rock, Arkansas, the 5 students killed were Solomon Correa, 4 young ladies, Magdalene Franco, Ava Luplo, and 2 sisters, Andrea Prime and Susie Prime. They were returning after just a time of being aglow with God. All of them were former students, or a couple of them presently yet in high school, at Sylvan Hills High School, members of Faith Bible Fellowship that sponsored their trip. Susie and Andrea's dad, Phil Prime, said to Cowboy State Daily, he said, "I forgive A.A. Nelson for causing the crash. I don't have vengeance in my heart. We could become angry and we could become bitter, but all those things destroy you. Those feelings don't help you. And now the state of Wyoming is going to be trying Nelson on 5 counts of aggravated vehicular homicide for the deaths of 5 from Arkansas, driving under the influence of a controlled substance causing serious bodily injury for the MS freight driver that may not live, and also facing many charges for reckless endangerment of the drivers and passengers in the other involved vehicles, along with driving the wrong direction on a divided highway with a suspended license from a previous DUI conviction. And the Jackson Hole Bible College spokesman said these words, and this is the redemptive part of these headlines. There's no doubt that these 5 students who are all born again are currently seeing through their eyes unspeakable joy. They finished the race set before them and they're now enjoying fellowship with their Savior. I come today to tell you no more bad news, but just to let you know that that's most of what we see in the paper, isn't it? Makes us cry. Could have been my children or grandkids. Could have been yours. It could be one of you young people. But today we turn to the only all good news that there is. The heavenly good news, the gospel of Jesus in a nutshell. Nicodemus was hearing the gospel story by the Son of Man explained to him about how to be born again. It's like it's hot off the Associated Press because it came down from heaven in newness and freshness and tenderness. And Nicodemus knew Jesus was talking directly to him, but he's talking directly to you and me this morning. February 5th, 2023, Nicodemus was hearing the Son of Man who had descended from heaven, the one who comes in the clouds the second time. He was hearing him give this 5-fold headlines, the best news the world has ever heard. Did Nicodemus that night receive it and become a born-again believer? We don't know. Did he wait and tell his good friend in the Sanhedrin, Joseph of Arimathea? Did they somehow keep it all secret and become Jesus' disciple? John 19:38 says they couldn't stay secret because after Jesus was on the cross and had died, they begged Pilate for the body of Jesus. They took his dead body down from the cross. They buried his body in 75 pounds of spices. And they laid the body of Jesus in Joseph of Arimathea's grave. We read about it prophesied by Isaiah. You're going to be at this passage pretty soon, Steve. Isaiah 53:8-9. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, because he was hanging between 2 thieves and with a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, in his own tomb in his death. Now, I don't have any idea in my mind how Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea could keep heaven's headlines to themselves for 3.5 years. I can't imagine keeping this to myself. I hope you don't either. As we look at heaven's headlines, I want you to know what you never do with heaven's headlines. You don't take them and throw them into the trash. Right here in this community years ago, as I was witnessing to a lady and talking to her about Scripture, she took the Bible and ripped it in two. That's not what you do with heaven's headlines. It doesn't change the truth. Heaven's headlines are not something that you take and bring them to a recycle center and leave them off. They're not something that you crumple up and start fires in the morning or in the evening in your fireplace. However, I wonder how many of you here ever carried the paper early in the morning from door to door on a route that you had. How many of you? Look at that. Wow. Mary Carey. Wow. All I can say is our kids did some of that. They got up early. Supposed to be there on your porch before you get up so you can grab it and see the headlines. And I want you to know what God has called us to be is His newsboys. He's called us to be His evangelists without excuses, ready to take God's headline to anyone and everyone He places in our lives. Now I want us to look at these fivefold headlines of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the first headline is, you have someone who loves you. You want to say that with me? You want to say it again? You have someone who loves you. For God so loved the world. I've been privileged to preach in a very few countries over the years. But wherever I've preached, in those countries, I want you to know, God has allowed me by His grace to preach the very same message wherever it goes, whether Russia, Moldova, Africa, India, Mexico, where Pastor Zaccheo is today. I've preached in his town a number of times. Haiti, Romania, Ukraine, Hungary, Israel, New Zealand, Canada, Fiji, Cook Islands, Rarotonga, where I had the joy of leading a man in prison that was a mass murderer with 666 tattooed on his forehead. He came to me and he said afterwards, do you think God would love me? And I said yes, and he received Jesus as his Savior. Western Samoa, Northwest Territories, United States. But I've just been to a few places, and boy, did I find that out in 1994 when my daughter Amy and I came on our way home from that trip, 3.5 weeks. We came to Bucharest, and when we got to Bucharest, there we saw a man with a cross on his shoulder. And we walked up to him and I asked him his name. He said his name was Arthur Blessed. He asked me my name. I hugged him and told him, thank you for being faithful to your call. I had no idea God was going to be so good to me as to have me get on the plane that was going to Vienna, Austria, and who would come in and sit right beside me? Arthur Blessed. He sat there and told me about his challenged boy and to pray for him. We cried together, we prayed together, we even sang together on the plane, and we wept so often together as we exchanged stories. Got off at Vienna. I've never seen him since, but he's well known across the world because he has taken a 4x4 that's 12 foot long and 6 foot wide, weighs 45 pounds, and a wheel that wears out every 2,000 miles on the back end of the 4x4, and he has traveled. He's in his 55th year. He left Sunset Strip in Hollywood in 1968, and just began walking the streets of Hollywood, and God said, I want you to go to all the nations. He has now walked over 43,340 miles, 324 countries, island groups and territories, 86 million steps, and he and his wife Denise share Jesus. She drives in front of him, and she's gone to 294 of the countries, so she's home raising kids for a little while, but now they've been together, and these are his words. The greatest thing you and I can do is to help lead a lost person to come to faith in Jesus and really come to know him as Savior and Lord. I want you to know that heaven's headlines, no matter which of those 324 countries any of us go to, are the same. They don't change from one culture or one language to another. They're all the same. And the first one is, you have someone who loves you, for God so loved the world. Now, I don't know what you think of heaven's headlines, but I'm going to tell you something. I dare you for a moment to think about your thought life within the last 24 hours, within the last week, within the last month and within the last year. I don't know how far you have to go back until you're starting to want to put your head down. Can you imagine the incredible miracle that God, who knows every thought in our mind, we haven't even shared it with a wife or our children or anyone else, but He knows our thought life, and yet we have someone who loves us. Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. Every human being on this sinful planet, we're all worthy of eternal damnation, punishment in hell forever. And somehow in the sovereign grace of God, despite our sinfulness, God still loves us. He recognizes us by His sovereign grace. We're horribly marred by sin, and yet He knows His work. Marred that it is. And from the loneliest rancher in all of Wyoming to the lowest skid row drunkard in downtown Chicago, He says, you have someone who loves you, for God so loved the world. Philip P. Bliss caught the beauty of that headline, and he wrote a hymn in 1870 called, "I Am So Glad That Our Father in Heaven Tells of His Love in the Book He Has Given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest. Jesus loves me." And you know the chorus. You can sing it with me. "I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him," he wrote, "and wander away, still He does love me. Wherever I stray, back to His dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder! Jesus loves me." Beloved, tell others the headlines. You have someone who loves you, and that someone is God. Number two, not only do you have someone who loves you, but you have a gift in God's Son. The Scripture says that He gave His only begotten Son. What a headline from Glory. Most people in America think the greatest gift they could get is to win the lottery. I just want to tell you, if you did, it'd be gone in a few years. It won't even last a lifetime. This gift lasts for eternity and it never ends. Paul wrote about it in Romans 5, 6 to 8. He says, "While we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In John 10:11, He announced His free gift saying, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." How many of you had trouble sleeping last night and would be willing to raise your hand? Let me see. Well, we got a lot of people that will need what I'm going to say. How many of you have been told at night to go to sleep, count sheep? I just want to tell you, if you've been doing that, I would tell you to do something else. Talk to the shepherd. Talk to the shepherd. Talk to the shepherd. And now, I want to tell you about something. Something very important. It's so important. It's that people are willing to risk their lives for $1 million. Recently, I was asked, "Have you seen Alone? Have any of you ever watched any Alone programs about people out in the wild?" Well, I got talked into watching Alone number 7. It was the first time they'd had a 100-day challenge in the Arctic for $1 million. 8 men and 2 ladies signed up, supposedly all of them eager participants and supposedly experts in living in the Arctic wild. They were at the Great Slave Lake in the Northwest Territories up in Canada. I've been up there. Just a little north of there is Yellowknife, and you can't drive any further. Well, after 40 days, 6 men were gone. Now there are two women and two men. Amos, I was for him. I thought he knows the Lord. But he ran out of food and his log hut that he had built burned down when he tapped out. Kaylin, one of the girls, 88 days, exhausted. Probably will never be the same, some of these people. They did damage to their bodies. Carrie, after 92 days with severe frostbite, they were afraid they were going to have to amputate some of her toes, tapped out. One man made it 100 days, and he always talked about himself. Rough, rough man. Rugged timber man. His name is Roland Welker. He always would say, "We did this. We stabbed this musk ox. We got this wolverine. We did this. We." And people ask him, well, he says, "That's me and my mother." His mother had passed away, and she was a born-again Christian. And he said he felt like she was on the trip with him, but he was anything but a Christian, let me tell you. But on the day that he won, he stood up and started singing, "Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior." He says, that's what my mom would be singing. So we won. We won together. I can't get him out of my mind. I'm praying that Roland Welker will come to faith in Jesus Christ. I may never see him. Maybe sometime somebody will say, "I saw you being preached about. I think you ought to listen. I hope Roland Welker will come to know Christ." He's a wild man. I mean, he gets meat and just eats it raw. He's just crazy. But I want him to know Jesus and live in eternity forever. I want him to receive the free gift. Now, I want you to know, if people are willing to face bear, wolves, frozen to death situations for $1 million, why won't they receive Jesus, the best free gift in the world? People stand in line to get something free, and they find out there's a catch to it, and they end up getting pearls. They're dollar store pearls. You can get them over here at the dollar store. They look like pearls. You can get a free case of pop, maybe your picture, your photo taken with a movie star or something. But let me tell you, 1 John 3:16 says, "We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, the greatest gift in all the world is the gift of our Lord Jesus." How can we refuse to be involved in God's delivery system? Going into all the world with the gospel that God the Father gave his only begotten Son to die in our place. Do you remember when God spoke life into you? Do you remember when you were born again? Can you remember? Then testify. Testify. You have someone who loves you. You have a gift in God's Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Headline number 3, you only have to believe. That whosoever believes in him. The headline stresses salvation, being born again with God's free offer to everyone if we only trust him, if we only believe. And this part of heaven's headlines is what has drawn more people to the Lord than any other part. That whoever believes, God is telling us that he not only loves all of us as the world, but he loves each one of us. Each one of us. You know, Augustine said it back in the 4th century A.D., God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us to love. If someone could put up number 3, you only have to believe. Thank you. Thank you. This gift is limited, and it's limited to those that have saving faith, that are bona fide sinners. Don't ever talk about being born again if you haven't confessed to being a bona fide sinner. God has never saved a good person. Not once. There's no good person that will ever go to heaven. The only people who will ever go to heaven are bona fide sinners. When you realize you're a bona fide sinner, you can go to heaven. That's what belief is. He died for sinners. Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." Now, the greatness of whosoever is wonderful, but the wonder of the way in which God has made it so simple even a child can repent, believe, and receive Jesus. It is so wonderful, regardless of our past. Jesus wants us in His family. Now, if you have a bulletin in front of you, if you'll open it up, there's an insert there. And that insert has within it the story of the gospel and the story of salvation based on, of all places, Acts 16:25-36, where Paul and Silas were in prison, and you remember they're in stocks and there's an earthquake, and the jailer comes and he realizes everybody's been set free. He takes his sword to fall on it, and Paul yells to him, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." And he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And here is that story. And I'm going to sing it, and if you know how to sing along, maybe you say, "I don't know it." Well, you can try. You don't have to sing very loud, but I want to sing it to you. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." I grew up singing this Avis B. Bergensen Christensen song. "What must I do?" the trembling jailer cried, when dazed by fear and wonder. "Believe on Christ," was all that Paul replied, "and thou shalt be saved from sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved." Well, you don't know it, but I'm going to read the rest of it to you, and we'll sing the chorus to end it. "What must I do, O weary, trembling soul? Just turn today to Jesus. He will receive, forgive, and make you whole. Christ alone can set you free. His blood is all your plea for saving grace, the precious fount of cleansing. Oh, come, accept His love, behold His face, and be saved forevermore." Can you sing it with me? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You have someone who loves you. You have a gift in God's Son. You only have to believe. Number four, the headlines are, you don't have to die. Just three English words: should not perish. Those headlines are not about physical death, because you're going to die and I'm going to die just as sure as we're sitting here. We're going to die unless Jesus comes in our lifetime. And then we'll have to die, and it'll be swift, because we'll be changed in a moment. This body will have to die, and we have a new body likened to His glorious body. But I want you to know, physical death is what all of us are promised because we were born in sin. We read about it in Hebrews 9:26-28. "Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, and just as it is appointed for man once to die, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear," that's His second coming, "a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who eagerly await for Him." So if this isn't physical death, what is it? This is eternal death. "Shall not perish," the word is in the Greek, apolumi. It means to destroy utterly, to be spiritually lost, in spiritual destitution, to perish eternally, to be unsaved, to be condemned to hell forever. Don't let anybody talk you into the fact that this is like you'll be a grease spot when hell happens, annihilated. It's not true. Jesus Himself said in Mark 9:48, "Hell is where the worm dies not." Even a worm won't die. "And the fire is not quenched." When was the last time? This is what Clint spoke to us about last Sunday night. When was the last time you spent an hour delivering this good news to someone you love, telling them You have someone who loves you. You have a gift in God's Son. You only have to believe. You don't have to die. You don't have to forever be separated from the God who loves you. Oh, no. May God help us to open our mouths. God didn't ask for a silent church. We incur guilt when we do not open our lips, when we leave our lips sealed to our dying world. You don't have to die. Now we have the final headline, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. You can have eternal life. It's the best news of all. It's the greatest. It climaxes everything he said. It's everybody's text. Why? Because the mainspring of God's very being is love. He sees my disobedience and yours, our rebellion. Why didn't he just say, I'll show you. I'll break you. I'll humble you. I'll lash you. I'll scourge you. I'll punish you. I'll bring you back to me. No, he didn't do that. He acted not for his sake, but for our sake. For our sake, he was made poor that we might be made rich. He did it to satisfy his character, his purpose, his design for us. This text tells about the length and breadth and depth and height of God's love. He loved the world so much, not just one nation. Not just one ethnic group, not just Israel, not just lovable people. He came to this wicked world to die on the cross, to be buried, to rise from the dead, to conquer death, hell, and the grave. We sang it in that song, Christ Alone. And bursting forth the glorious day, up from the grave, he rose again. Paul said what eternal life is. How many of you know what eternal life is? Let me try to explain it a little bit. Before we close, eternal life is the very life of God that he's always had eternally and now becomes ours. It's in us. The life of God is in me and it's in you. To have eternal life changes all of our relationships. It changes our relationship with God. It changes our relationship with one another. It changes our relationship with ourselves. Paul said, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with yourself? Do you have peace with others? Because if you don't have peace with others, ask God to forgive you because he's given you eternal life, the life of God. Eternal life makes us stop resenting life or resenting others and arguing with our lot in life. It gives us peace even though we know our own weakness, our own proneness to fall to temptation. Eternal life means we face ourselves with God and our future. As I was coming to church this morning, it was early, barely least bit of daylight, and the moon was full. And I looked at all of it, and I just cried, and I said, God, why did you love me? Why did you love me? Eternal life makes us certain that our dearest joys on earth, whatever they are, they're just a foretaste of greater joy that's coming in heaven. Our deepest peace on earth is just a shadow of the ultimate peace that will come to us when we all get to heaven. Eternal life is having a hope. It's having a goal. It's having an ultimate direction in life's journey. Eternal life is a glorious wonder down here. But oh, what it's like when we get beyond these unexplainable trials and struggles, because the best is yet to be. Do you know eternal life this morning? Let's just say our verse before we have communion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, just repeat those five headlines. I'll give them and you repeat it. You have someone who loves you. You only have to believe. You don't have to die. You can have eternal life. Did I leave one of them out? I did. Let's try it again. You have someone who loves you. You have a gift in God's Son. You only have to believe. You don't have to die. You can have eternal life.